Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Hannah Rudolph from MUFG's Washington, D.C. Representative Office. It's Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. Welcome, Hannah. U.S.-China relations are becoming increasingly strained, with charged rhetoric from both sides. Can you walk us through what's been happening in the last few weeks that has led us to this point?
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. So over the past few years in the U.S., we've seen significantly bipartisan, hardline sentiment toward China deepen. Until recently, it was tempered by President Trump's push for a trade deal. That deal was signed in January, but since then, the coronavirus has hit the U.S., and there's now this deep frustration with what's seen as China's lack of transparency and its responsibility for the virus's spread and impact. As a result, it's become a no-holds-barred situation in Washington, with major developments and rhetoric coming weekly from both the White House and Congress. So to walk through some of the developments coming from the White House over the last month, first, we've seen several new export control restrictions. In late April, there was the decision to subject U.S. dual-use exports to tighter scrutiny. And by dual-use exports, I'm referring to products with potential military application. In mid-May, the U.S. announced tighter restrictions on Huawei to block semiconductor exports. And then just this last week, the U.S. added 33 Chinese entities to the same trade blacklist that Huawei is on. These are entities with human rights issues or ties to the Chinese military. Second, also in May, the administration pressured a federal pension board to stop plans to invest in Chinese companies. This was also tied to human rights and national security concerns. Third, the U.S. issued a public warning about Chinese cyber espionage, saying that it's trying to steal coronavirus data related to U.S. research on vaccines and treatments. Fourth, we've seen very vocal support for Taiwan out of this administration. After Taiwan's President Tsai was inaugurated for her second term, Secretary of State Pompeo released a rare and high-level congratulatory message. And that same day, the U.S. approved an arms sale to Taiwan. Fifth, we've also seen very vocal support for Hong Kong. After China's decision last week to impose a new national security law, Trump just yesterday hinted that the U.S. would likely impose sanctions on China as a result. So that's the White House, but in Congress, too, we're seeing major movement on legislation. There's been bills introduced to investigate the origins of the coronavirus, to give the administration more sanctions authority on Hong Kong, and efforts to move vulnerable supply chains out of China. The Senate recently passed a bill condemning China's treatment of its Uyghur Muslim minority, and this is particularly politically sensitive for Beijing, same as anything related to Hong Kong and Taiwan. Just this last week, the Senate passed a bill to expel Chinese companies from U.S. stock exchanges if they didn't follow U.S. standards for audits. To give you a sense of how much the situation has escalated, that bill to delist Chinese companies was introduced in June last year in 2019. Back then, it was seen as a radical escalation of tensions, so no real movement was expected. But since then, U.S.-China ties have really worsened, so after Trump publicly mentioned his support for the idea in May, the bill passed the Senate. It's expected to be passed by the House and signed into law. It won't have immediate impact since there's a three-year timeframe involved, but it's just one more pressure point among many in the U.S.-China relationship, many of which have emerged or come into focus in just this last month.
That's helpful. Thank you. Looking ahead, where do you see this going? How might current tension impact U.S.-China trade relations?
Yeah, so there's a definite push to reduce U.S. dependence on China in key sectors, and that's gaining momentum. This includes efforts to shore up pharmaceutical supply chains, medical product supply chains, and to reduce dependence on Chinese rare earth minerals. There's also talk of a reshoring fund to incentivize U.S. businesses to move supply chains back to the U.S. And of course, there's been an ongoing trend toward tech decoupling, and that's going to continue. The U.S.-China trade deal is also under pressure. I'm talking about that phase one deal that the U.S. and China signed in January. We've seen mixed feedback from the White House in recent weeks. U.S. cabinet officials like Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and USTR Lighthizer have emphasized continued support for the deal. They've highlighted that China's been meeting a number of the commitments that it made, including significantly increasing agricultural purchases. That said, President Trump is increasingly questioning whether the deal is still politically valuable. The deal was always political in nature. It didn't address the major structural issues at play in the U.S.-China trade relationship. The main component of the deal was China's purchase commitments, which benefited a key Trump constituency, the farmers. Now, with the White House push to blame China for the coronavirus, it's harder for President Trump to praise a trade deal with China. Instead, there's an incentive to be tough on China. Overall, it's too soon to say whether the deal will survive. One thing to know is that farmers have already planned for major Chinese purchases in their planting season. So a U.S. withdrawal from the deal would be a serious hit for a key Trump support base. But it's a realistic concern that Trump could cancel the deal, and that risk is increasing as we approach the elections.
Thanks, Anna. Can you expand on President Trump's possible motivations and the political backdrop here in the U.S.?
Yeah, for President Trump, the major driver for any decision right now is the 2020 elections. As we get closer to November, the coronavirus is going to be at the forefront of voters' minds. It's likely that many Americans will still be feeling considerable economic pain, and there's also the likelihood of a second coronavirus outbreak in the fall. Recent surveys show that voters are more inclined to trust former Vice President Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee, to handle the coronavirus over Trump. Because of this, Trump is employing a two-pronged strategy. He's playing defense by pushing the blame for the coronavirus on China, and also offense by attacking Biden as soft on China. Biden has responded by attacking Trump in kind. Together, the two candidates have spent $6 million just on TV ads that attack the other as soft on China. With both major presidential candidates heavily focused on bashing China in their campaign, this dynamic is going to further feed hardline U.S. action toward China. And then there's also an action-reaction cycle here with public opinion. U.S. public opinion of China has dropped nearly 20% over the last 4 years. There's huge distrust of China, especially regarding the coronavirus, and that's been bipartisan. So what we're seeing is that Trump and Biden are both digging into the bashing China narrative, and it's supported by U.S. voter opinion and views in Congress, like I mentioned earlier. The closer we get to the elections, this dynamic is going to deepen. So regardless of whether Trump or Biden is elected in November, unfortunately, the strain that we're seeing in U.S.-China ties is going to continue for some time ahead.
That's great analysis, Anna. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.